We turn now to a look at one of the big issues facing the U.S. and its allies in the year ahead, how to proceed in the war on terror. The last year, the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, ended with Osama bin Laden and his deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, still at large. With us now to look at a region that has re-emerged in this past year as the source of real and potential terrorism is NPR intelligence correspondent Mary Louise Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Let's start with the situation on the Afghan-Pakistan border. It's bad and getting worse by all reports, with the Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters enjoying safe haven, able to cross back and forth freely. Now, I've seen the border from the Afghan side, you've seen it from the Pakistan side, but tell us what the outlook is for efforts to bring this area under control, which in a way is a challenge for Pakistan.
It's a challenge for both sides. Pakistani officials will point out there are two sides of the border. But on their side, on the Pakistani side, they have a couple of efforts underway. One is the peace agreements that the Pakistani government has signed with a couple of the tribal agencies along the border. The Pakistani officials argue these deals will work in terms of trying to rein in militants crossing back and forth across the border. It will work in terms of trying to rein in violence. But you have to give it some time. They admit it's not working yet. And I think the concern is that militants are using that time to expand terrorist training, to fortify alliances with al-Qaeda and foreign fighters. The other newer Pakistani strategy just unveiled last week is let's fence the border, mine it, and try to stop terrorist traffic that way.
Well, here's a trick with fencing the border. It's an incredibly long border, and it's very mountainous. So mining it may deter some folks along some sections, but a fence?
That's right. It's a 1,500-mile border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, so I think it's true. It's certainly going to be very difficult to seal, even if Pakistan sinks a tremendous amount of money and resources into this. And then you have the complication that across the border, the Afghan government opposes this idea. And then you have the local people who live there, many of whom are Pashtun. They belong to tribes that straddle the border. They don't want to see it walled and their freedom of movement restricted.
As all this is going on, there appears to be something of a mini Taliban state in Pakistan emerging with some kind of scary parallels to Afghanistan in the 1990s.
Yeah, you have 6 million people living in the tribal areas on the Pakistani side of the border. The vast majority of them are poor, uneducated, and they are living in an area that is increasingly beyond state control. Historically, you had tribal leaders who held sway, but the evidence is that increasingly they are being ignored, or worse, murdered by religious extremists who are sympathetic to the Taliban and to foreign fighters. We mentioned I was in Pakistan recently, and it seemed just about every day I was there, there was some sort of incident, a tribal elder being killed by a roadside bomb. There were explosions in markets, suicide bombings in Peshawar, the major city in the northwest of Pakistan. And that's new, and it appears to point to evidence of growing al-Qaeda influence.
Realistically, could al-Qaeda be regrouping to the point where it could strike the United States again?
There is the view that while developments along the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan are certainly disturbing, certainly a regional problem, that al-Qaeda is probably not in a position to mount operations as far afield as the United States. There is another school of thought, though, that while al-Qaeda is weaker than 5 years ago, it is perhaps stronger than it was a year ago, that it has been able to enjoy this safe haven along the border, that it is using that safe haven to find new ways to put together operations, to draw in supporters, and to inspire splinter groups who may not necessarily be receiving money or direct orders from core al-Qaeda leaders, but who, as we saw in the past couple of years in London, in Madrid, are capable of very dramatic, deadly attacks.
And in 2006, this past year, there were no big terror attacks in the West. Is that a trend or is that a lull?
It's certainly true that there were no big attacks in the West. I don't think it was for lack of trying. The most serious thwarted plot was this alleged plot to blow up airplanes leaving Heathrow Airport in London. And there was some skepticism at the time about how imminent that plot really was. But I think as the months have passed and some evidence has emerged, most security experts I speak to have come around to the view that Heathrow was the real deal, that these plotters, whether they were days or months away from attacking isn't clear, but that they were serious. Now, the good news, looking ahead, is that they didn't succeed. And one hopes that that speaks to better intelligence efforts, better security measures actually working. The bad news is, despite all of these security measures and intelligence improvements put in place since 9/11, the terrorists were not deterred from trying again.
Mary Louise, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Renee.
NPR's intelligence correspondent, Mary Louise Kelly.